Turn to Psalm 146. Psalm number 146. That's not all, folks. Psalm 146. All right. We are going to read the entire chapter. Some of you will get your Bible reading in for the day. But don't worry, it's only 10 verses, so you'll be okay. Psalm 146, and we're going to read all 10 verses. We'll read this in responsively here. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his tongue perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Lord, though it was penned before the world was created, it just amazes me how that in 2015 it still applies to our lives. God, I pray that you just encourage and strengthen your people tonight. May we be able to leave here tonight and actually be able to please you with our praise as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me start with a statement that may surprise some of you. I am excited about the day and age in which we live. I'm excited about it. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to dread life. I was going to enjoy it. You know, I enjoyed being a child. Bless you. Is that you, Brother Harry? Whew. Man, watch out, Miss Joyce. All right. I mean that. I enjoyed being a child. Man, we played and we... We had a television when I was growing up, but we didn't get to see it till it was dark outside because we were outside either working or playing. We were reenacting. I remember playing Evel Knievel, amen? You got to be a little older to understand that, but man, we made bikes and we tore bikes apart and made our own bikes out of parts from other bikes we had wrecked, that weren't in any good shape anymore, and you know, we just did all those kinds of things. You say, but did you wear a helmet? Only if you were jumping the Snake River Canyon and you stole somebody's football helmet, amen? We were doing it all. I enjoyed being a teenager. I enjoyed college. I worked too much through it to remember much, but I enjoyed even the college age years. I enjoyed being a young married adult man. I'm still a young married adult. Well, I'm still married to a young lady, amen? But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed our children when they were young. I somewhat enjoyed them as teenagers. I enjoyed my children as teenagers. And I'm enjoying my children after they leave home. I'm finding out what the word leftovers means. Never had that before. I mean, it's been 23 years since I found out what a leftover was. It's amazing. And I decided that I would enjoy married children and their spouses. I'm glad my son Josh is married to Ruth Ann, and she's not our daughter-in-law, she's just our daughter. And I'm enjoying that. You say, well, are you going to be a grandpa someday, probably? And guess what? I'll enjoy it. I'm not looking forward to that term, but I'll enjoy it when it comes, all right? I'm not dreading, I'm 48, I'm not dreading the 50s. I'm not talking about the ones you lived through. I'm talking about the age of the 50s. I'm not dreading it. You say, why? Because I've decided I would enjoy each and every stage of my life. It's just how I live. Now, I get weary of this new attitude that motive is everything. We have allowed the humanism of our day to bring in motive to everything we do, even into Christianity. I heard some yard bird on the radio the other day. I was going from point A to point B, and one of the Christian radio stations was on, and every once in a while I catch Brother Roloff or somebody on it, and I was just flipping through, and this, and I'll be honest with you, don't know who he was, but he was talking about how that, now, I don't mean to be sarcastic. I thought, well, don't worry, you won't be the way you're talking, little mealy mouth. And he said, you know, I just can't ever see getting up and preaching about sin with a bad attitude. And I thought, well, that's why you don't preach against sin. I got a bad attitude against sin. I worked 48 years to get a bad attitude about it. I'm proud of that bad attitude against sin. I'm not against sinners, but guess what? I hate sin, mine and yours. I don't have a good attitude about sin. All right? God wants us to do some things out of obedience. And by the way, that doesn't mean you always have the best motive. Did you know when my dad told me to do something, he didn't care what my motive was. He just expected obedience. And when there wasn't obedience, he fixed my motive. He said, you got one chance. You can do it with or without a spanking. You choose. That was the motivation. It didn't matter what my motive was. He just expected obedience. Now, when God commands us to do something, don't take me wrong on this. He doesn't really care what your motivation is. He just expects obedience. He doesn't care how you feel. He expects you to obey. Whether you feel something that tingles or whether you do it out of, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, he expects you to do it. It's not the motivation. Now, listen to this very carefully. God did not ask us to praise him. He commanded us. I want you to notice over and over and over in Psalm 146, Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, Psalm 150, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times, he didn't say, will you please praise me? He said, praise ye the Lord. That sounds like thou shalt not kill. He didn't make it a request. Notice there's not a question mark. There's a period. There's exclamation marks. He said, praise ye the Lord. In other words, it's a command. And when God commands you to do something, you're supposed to do it out of obedience. You may or you may not feel good about doing it, but may I say this, we're supposed to do it anyway. God doesn't say, wait for the feeling, then praise me. He said, praise ye the Lord. Everybody doing all right? Hang in there. It's coming. Did you realize there's nowhere in Scripture where he said it was wrong if you feel something to praise him? But you'll never see a feeling attached to praise God. Never. Praise has gotten the wrong name. We've allowed this fleshly, charismatic philosophy to define praise for us. Praise is not some religious boogie-woogie dance. It's not some raising of the hands and the rolling of the eyes and the swaying of back and forth saying, oh, that's not praise. That's show. Everybody doing all right? Well, I'm just feeling it. Can't you feel it? Let's praise the Lord. Wait a minute. I find nowhere where God said feel it. He just said praise the Lord. See, we've turned praise into something that it is not. Again, emotion has no part in the command. He did not say, praise me, praise the Lord with strong emotion. He said, praise the Lord. Okay, hang in here. I think God wants you to enjoy the praise. My dad wanted me to enjoy work. I didn't enjoy it as a kid. Guess what? I enjoy work today. I didn't understand it then like I understand it now. Eventually, work became enjoyable. But it wasn't always with the right motive that I work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. You see, God wants you to enjoy it. But whether you enjoy it or not, He commanded you to do it, you're to do it. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. That's not a request. That's a command. Whether you feel like it or not. Everybody doing all right? Yes, sir. Husbands, love your wives. That's a command. Yes, sir. I could go on and on and on. God didn't say do it when you feel like it. Why have we attached a feeling to praise? Now, God does not give you a command without the ability to obey that command. God did not say when all is going well, only you praise Him. God did not say when you feel good, praise Him. But guess what? You can praise Him when things are going well. Did you know you can praise Him when you feel well? That's not very often, but do it anyway. Did you know you could praise Him for feeling well? But that doesn't mean the only time you praise Him is when everything is puppy dogs and buffets, amen? Let me just say it this way. We can praise Him when we feel good, but you can praise Him when you don't feel good. You can praise Him when your heart's broken, or you can praise Him when your heart's excited. God does not say only obey His command when you feel like it. He said, praise ye the Lord. Now, listen to me very carefully. Let me tell you something. You will not always feel like praising the Lord. I don't always feel like praising the Lord. But guess what? I'm still commanded to do it. We need a revival of praising God amongst Christian people. We need a revival of praising God in our churches today. I'm talking about biblical, scriptural praise. Let me just say this right here. I'm not talking about some show where everybody's screaming and hollering. Men, if you want to holler amen during the preaching, go for it. If you want to say glory, that's fine. You want to raise your hand during a song because the message, great. I have no problem with that. I'm not one of these old camp meeting, wind sucking and kind of preachers, all right? They put on a good show, but they got weak doctrine, and that's all they're doing is hyping your emotion. I'm for preaching, preaching hard, preaching fast, preaching loud, preaching hard. I'm for that. I'm for us obeying whether it is or isn't. Now, listen to me very carefully. We don't need some party, rock concert, dance, hall session, or some sensual emotional experience. We just need to praise the Lord. Amen. We don't need some song that moves us to tears for us to say, oh, praise the Lord. We don't need some rousing song to say, praise the Lord. But we can praise the Lord in all those things as well. Praise is thanking God for what He has done. Let me say that again. Praise is thanking God for what He has done. Can I tell you something? God's done an awful lot. Praise is being thankful for a truth. You know, I could praise God for the truth of reconciliation this morning. I can praise God for my salvation. I can praise God for the fact that my sins are washed away. I can praise God that there's a heaven, that I don't have to die and go to hell. Did you know I can praise the Lord that His righteousness was added to my account and my sins are gone? Hey, those are things He's done, not that I did. And I can get excited about those things. But guess what? Even if I'm not excited about it, I'm supposed to praise Him for it. Everybody doing all right? Did you know that praise is being thankful for a deed or the ability to do something for someone? Or something that was done for you? Brother Stoltz had one of the bus kids give him a $20 bill today to put in the offering to help pay for the bus. I can praise God for that. Amen. Matter of fact, I can praise him a lot for that one. But guess what? If the bus kid didn't give the $20, guess what? I can still praise God for the bus anyway. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Praise is not because you tingle in a song, but you can praise God for the message of the song. Matter of fact, it really doesn't matter if you tingle or not. You can praise him anyway. All right. Praise may be done with a shout, or it may not be. Do you know some people don't shout? My wife has never shouted that I know of. Not even at my children. One time. One child that was running out into the road. And she was 9.5 months pregnant with another child. She did shout at that moment. And she had to go to the doctor. And they couldn't figure out why her blood pressure was 200 over 150, you know? They literally laid her down in the doctor's office. We might have to take you out. It's okay, trust me. Just that one just scared the bejeebers out of her. It's okay. Now, wait a minute. Did you know not everybody shouts? I know this. There's when I get preaching on salvation and the old life and the new life, I got Mike Schenenberger over here, and he's having a spell, amen? Because he knows he's that old bear that got saved, and he's the new bear now, amen? He's got the two bears on the shelf, and I'm for that. I'm an unusual creature. I didn't get saved out of life like that, but I'm just as excited about it as he is. Can I tell you why? Because I've learned to praise God even though I didn't have to come out of a bad life. Amen. See, when you learn to praise God out of obedience, the rest of it comes. For some, praise may be a tear. And there's others, you can't figure out why anybody would cry to praise God. Fellas, you're not going to understand your wife when she says, I'm just so happy I'm crying. Okay, that doesn't make sense to a man. She cries when she's mad. She cries when she's hurt. And she's crying when she's happy. As long as she's crying, you're in good shape 1 out of 3 times. You got a 1/3 chance of being on the right side of them tears. Amen? Can I tell you something else? There's sometimes some people just cry. I was preaching this morning and I watched somebody with tears rolling down their face as I was preaching about salvation. And that was a praise to God. For some, it might be a laugh. There's one person in our church, when I hit on something, they just giggle. And I love it. That's a form of praise. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Quit looking around. Look at me. For some, it's a raise of hand. Folks, you'll see me every once in a while. Brother Jim will sing or one of the folks will be singing and I'll just bless God, praise the Lord. I'm not afraid of it. Now, I'm not doing it for show. I'm not doing it to say, hey, look at me, y'all. It's not that kind of stuff. I'm not even looking at you. I'm just praising God. The message gets to my heart, and I want to praise him for the truth that just got sung about, amen? And I have no problem with that, but it's not because I'm tingling. Everybody doing all right? God just commands us to praise. Now, I'm going to give you a very simple outline out of Psalm 146. Let me give you four statements. I'm sorry, six. And they're going to go real fast. Number one, God wants you to praise him with your soul. Verse number one, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, remember we said, man is body, soul, and spirit. Did you know you're supposed to praise God with your personality? Your personality is your soul. And that means God expects Brother Stoltz to praise God as Brother Stoltz, not somebody else. Did you know that God did not make me to praise God like he did Gus Collin? He made me to praise God the way he made me. Everybody doing all right? You see, God wants you to praise him with your personality. That's why he made your personality. He made you specifically to give praise back to him the way he made you with your personality. By the way, God does not expect you to be somebody else. Let me just say it. I am not Dr. Jack Hiles. Yes, he's dead. God didn't make me to be Jack Hiles. God did not make me to be Lester Roloff. Now, I sing more like Brother Roloff, but God didn't make me to be Brother Roloff. God did not make me to be Billy Sunday. Actually, to be Billy Sunday, I'd have to jump up here, and I'm not going to do that tonight. All right? But I'll go for it if I want to, but I'm not tonight. Did you know that God did not make me to be J. Frank Norris?
Yes, sir.
God made me to be Craig Bush.
Amen.
And nobody else. Did you know I can give something to God that Dr. Jack Hiles could not, and that Dr. Lester Roloff could not, and that Billy Sunday, and that Dr. J. Frank Norris could not? Did you know God gave me something in my soul different than all those people that I could give God, and I'm supposed to do it the way he made me?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? God made me to be me. Did you know what? God made you to be you. I'm for having heroes, or ladies. What do they call a lady hero? Is it a heroine? I know that's a bad word in some word if it's used the wrong way, but I think that's the correct terminology. Did you know I'm for that? But did you know that for you to force yourself into being like that person, you're not doing what God made you to do? I love Brother Hiles. I love a lot about him. And if you knew Brother Hiles, there's some of the things I do that are very much like what he did with my personality, because I can't be Dr. Jack Hiles. I love many other heroes. Now, so we're supposed to praise him with our soul or with our personality. Number two, we are to praise him while we live. Look at verse number two. While I live, I will praise the Lord. Look at me. We're not supposed to wait till we die till we praise God. Well, I'll just save it all up and do it when I get to heaven. Uh-uh. I remember one time telling my dad, yeah, I'll get to that, Dad. Just wait, I'll get to it. Say, why did it only happen one time? Because that was the last time. I don't even remember what it was, but I do remember being encouraged to not do it that way. We had a charismatic meeting. We had a powwow, amen? He did the powwin, and I did the wowin. Guess what? We didn't wait for the job to get done. It got done in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. We're to praise him while we live. We're not supposed to wait to heaven. Earth is practice for heaven. Did you know when you get to heaven, it's going to be natural for you to praise the Lord if you've been praising the Lord here on the earth? If not, you're going to have to catch up when you're in heaven. I don't know about you, but if the rapture takes place right now, I don't want to miss stride. I just want to keep on going. I don't want to have to go to remedial classes. You know, bonehead English. I don't want to have to go to those. I want to be able to get there and be ready for it when I get there. This is just the practice session. Eternity's the long one, folks. We got to get ourselves ready for it. And you're going to praise God in heaven. You better get used to it now, because you're going to do it then. Boy, that's good stuff. God gave us life in our body to give him praise. I say this all the time. As long as you're still sucking air, there's something for you to do. You can at least praise God.
Amen.
You cannot praise him when you're dead. Did you know if you went to the funeral home tonight, those people cannot praise God with their life? It's over. Dead people don't praise, just so you know. And if they do, I'm out of there. Now listen to me. We're supposed to praise him while we live. Number three, I got to hurry. We are to praise him with singing. Look at verse number two. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Watch this. I will sing praises unto my God while I have, watch this, any being. Do you know I've sat with people as they've died and we've sung songs while they're dying? Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Wow. I remember singing with some folks, and they would say, Brother Bush, can you see it? Can you see it? No, what are we seeing? I'm seeing the other side. Can't you see so-and-so? I believe you can, but I can't. You're closer to it than I am right now. We'd sing. Whew, man, is that exciting. What were they doing? We were praising the Lord. That person's getting ready to go to heaven. I realize we're going to miss them, but guess what? They're not going to miss nothing. They're going to heaven. You see, while I have any being, did you know you're supposed to sing when you're at church? When we sing the congregational songs, let's sing. I love our church. We do sing. I'm watching some of you finally catch it. I'm watching some of you guys at least mouth the words. And teenagers go through this stage, they think it's not cool to sing. No, it's not cool not to praise God. I'm glad it doesn't. My wife and I visited some churches as we've traveled around. We were sitting in the back of a church service one night. I don't even remember where we were. It was a huge church. We walked into this church. They started the singing, and it really wasn't quite totally our stripe, but it was the best thing that there was to offer at the time. We just started singing, my three kids and my wife and I. There must have been 200 people sitting within close proximity of us, and I watched 400 eyeballs go like this. And the guy leading the song says, well, we got some folks singing back there. Y'all want to come up here? Mm-mm, dude. I was thinking, man, these people don't know how to sing out. I felt like I was singing all by myself. And that's not a good thing. Shut up. Did you know you can sing in private, not just the shower? What's wrong with, as you're driving to work, shutting the stupid radio off and singing praises to God? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I don't know about you, but that's praising God. Wow. The old rugged cross, scripture songs. He is mine. Folks, when we sing that in here, I'm not a tingly person, but just given the title, I got a tingle. Amen. I love that song. Why? Because he is mine. I'm blessed forever because he is mine. Whew, I like that song. I sing it when it's just me. You ought to walk back in this building, 37,000 square feet. You're the only one here at 5 o'clock in the morning singing, and it's bouncing off the walls. It still doesn't sound any better, but God's happy. I love that song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy, never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Wow. O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Wow. I get excited about that song. I get excited about what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look on his face. Can you imagine looking in Jesus' face tonight? The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand. Folks, I can't sing that one without tears. Say why? I know the truth of that song. Can I tell you something? That's a way to praise God. I think of a song. I sing it a lot while everybody's out of the building. But I hear Brother Roloff singing this song, and it just, I heard it 30 years ago, and I can't get it out of my head. When sin-stricken, burdened, and weary from bondage, I'd long to be free. There came to my heart this sweet message, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. In shady green pastures or on that rough sea, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, I was going through a pretty stormy time in my life, and God said, you start a church. I said, God, what are we going to call it? I'm down, I'm dejected, I'm discouraged. And I started singing that song, and he said, that'll do. And you wonder why we got Grace Baptist Church. Because God's grace is sufficient for me. Amen. Wow. It's not how well you sing, but your singing can praise God. Amen. Sing. Sing out. Sing praises back to him. By the way, we think Christian music is to bless us. No, it's for us to praise him. Our music's to be for him, not for us. Well, I just listen to this when I'm down. Why don't you praise him while you're down? You won't be down. You'll get back up in a hurry. Number four, we're not to let the news and events of the day steal our praise. Look at verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, that's rulers, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to put our confidence in the White House, in Congress, the Supreme Court, or any other ruler of the land. We are supposed to put our trust in God and not let the news and the events of the day steal our praise. Let me say that again. We're not supposed to let the news and the events of the day to steal our praise. Did you know the president can't steal your praise? Did you know the Supreme Court can't take your praise away? Do you know that the Sodomites can't steal your praise? Did you know that the stock market can't steal your praise? Did you know that not even Hillary can steal your praise in spite of everything else she's stolen? As my beagle would say, did you know that CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the Fox sewer stations cannot steal your praise? If you can't praise him in spite of the news of the day, quit listening to the news and praise God. Well, did you hear about all the Supreme Court decisions? Yes, guess what? Praise God. That means we're that much closer to heaven. We're that much closer to the rapture. Aren't you discouraged, preacher? No, I told you it's coming. Our world's delusional. We're in the last days, and we got to get busy telling everybody we can about Jesus, and somebody's going to get on the top side and say, praise God, let's go get them. Number five, we're not to let wicked people and wicked rulers steal our praise. Verses 5-8, I won't read the verses again, but the Bible says that 9 justices on the Supreme Court can't take your praise away. Did you hear that? I just can't believe. It doesn't matter what you believe, it's there. We couldn't believe we put Bill Clinton in the White House. That would be a welcome sight. Folks, you know America's bad when Bill Clinton's starting to look good. I think, Brother Gordon, I think even Jimmy Carter's starting to look better, amen? Whew. We're in trouble, folk. We better praise God while we got a chance. Did you know that the Pope can't take your praise away? Pope on a rope. Just pull the chain and watch him go. Amen? That was pretty good, Julianne. She snorted. Did you know that the IRS, the DMV, and the post office can't take your praise away? And that's pretty close. Oh, my soul. Folks, Did you know that Hollywood can't steal your praise? Do you know that professional sports and professional athletes can't take your praise away? Listen to this. Did you know that the Muslims, the atheists, and the God haters can't take your praise away? Well, they're just starting to rule everything. Well, if you keep shutting up about it, maybe they are. Why don't you step up? I found this out. Praise chases bad away in a hurry. I was at Sheets the other morning, pouring coffee. I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, Brother Gus. I didn't watch how full that thing was, and I poured it right out of the pot onto my fingers. I put that thing down and said, "Man, praise the Lord." There was this guy standing behind me, obviously some kind of rugged construction worker. He was already dirty, and it's 5:30 in the morning. He said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Praise the Lord, that's hot." He said, "What is there to praise the Lord over?" I said, "I still got my fingers." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "They're hurting too bad for me to have lost them, that's for sure. I'm trying to find things to wipe it off with." He said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." "Oh." Turn around, walked away. He said, "You didn't do that." "Yes, I did." Can I tell you something? You can praise the Lord. I found this out. Praising the Lord chases all the weirdos away. You know these people that look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun? And then a weed eater came along and hit them in the head? And they lost that fight? And they look at you when you're dressed in a suit like... Say, what do? I reach in my pocket and pull out a gospel tract and say, "Here, this will show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven one day." Man, you talk about them getting out of Dodge in a hurry. Say, aren't you afraid of them? No, they're afraid of me. Amen. I got the truth. Yes, they can't steal my praise. Number six, and I'm done. We need to praise God that he is still in control. Amen. Look at verse number 10. "The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." Yeah. Folks, it may look like our current chief administrator is in control. It doesn't even look that way. But guess what? God's in control. Vladimir Putin is not in control. God is. The Sheikh or Shah or whatever this jerk in Iran is. I'm sorry, this fella in Iran is. You know, the towel head that hopefully somebody will tie real tight. Can I tell you something? He's not in control. God is. Well, why is everything getting so bad? Why is God allowing things like this to happen? Two reasons. One, something called sowing and reaping. We have sown it, and we now have to reap it. We've allowed the bad seeds of the bad doctrine to permeate life long enough, and liberalism to fund it and to push it along, and we are now reaping because of that. But secondly, because God said it was going to happen, and it shows we're in the end days. Bring it on. Bring it on. Did you know I'm not discouraged? I'm excited. Amen. I get up every day saying, "Is it today, Lord? Is it today? Could it be today?" Yes, it could be. We're that much closer. You see, man's pride is so inflated that he thinks he runs the world. Can I tell you something? They're going to have the shock of their life when that rapture takes place. Then they're going to have a shock after the Antichrist, after 3 years, sets up, and God starts judging the world. And then there's going to be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is coming, and we're going to be riding white horses, coming back with him. Amen, Brother Brian? Sorry, that was funny. We're going to come back with him, but we're not going to fight. We're just going to enjoy the battle. Jesus is going to be the Word of God, because He is the Word of God, and the sword will proceed out of His mouth, and He'll kill everybody in the Valley of Megiddo that is there, all of the alignment of the nations, China and Russia and Germany and the whole alliance that goes with them. He'll put them down to where the blood rises to the bridle of a horse, and guess what? He's going to set up in Jerusalem and rule and reign from the Temple Mount. Guess who gets to rule and reign with Him? That's us. We get to be the government. I get the panhandle. Boy, that's exciting. Man never has controlled the sunrise or the sunset. Man has never controlled the weather. He can't even tell what it is, let alone control it. Man never controlled an earthquake. Man has never controlled a volcano. Man has never controlled gravity. Man can never control the earth's spin or the earth's rotation. Man can never control space, the sun, the moon, the stars. We have no control over it, and it proves that there is a God. Man wants to explain it away, but can I tell you something? God's in control. Well, there's just so much bad happening. I don't understand, preacher, why all this is so bad. Because God said it was going to get this way. It's just getting gooder, amen? Well, everywhere you look, there's too much water in Texas, and there's no water in California, and the poor ice cap and the polar bears don't have any ice to swim on. And it always amazes me. They're worried about a polar bear. Feed the children. But then we're overweight, so don't feed them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They can't even get their story straight. We had the coldest winter on record. That's due to global warming. Now, wait a minute. I'm not real smart, but if it's global warming, why are we extra cold? Well, that's due to global warming. Okay, explain that one, Brainiac. They sent ships to the Antarctica in a quest to show how the ice polar ice cap in Antarctica in their summertime was so thin. In the summertime in Antarctica, they got 3 ships stuck because there was so much ice. But we're in global warming. Everybody see the stupidity of it? Folks, we're supposed to praise God. He is in control. And it won't be too awful long. You're going to hear a trumpet sound. And you're going to be in the air looking down saying, na, 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 na. We ought to start praising God. I'm to the point now, I don't get discouraged. I don't get upset. I just start getting excited. I told Brother and Miss Collins yesterday, we were talking about it for just a few minutes. I said, bless God, that means we're that much closer to heaven. I meant it too. I said, praise the Lord, we're getting that much closer to the rapture. Folks, we have an awful lot to praise the Lord over. Notice, it doesn't say when you feel like it. Didn't say if you had a good attitude or a tingly feeling or a moving song. I've eaten some things that tingled. And it wasn't, I've had rumblings. I didn't necessarily praise God because I had a tingle. You know, you're sitting there after you ate, and all of a sudden your guts start going, bleh, and you're thinking, uh-oh. Everybody run. Folks, we ought to praise God. God says, praise ye the Lord. He didn't say when you felt like it. He didn't say when it was all going good. He said, praise the Lord. God commanded us to do it. By the way, if He commanded us, He gave you the ability to do it even when you didn't want to. Just praise the Lord. There used to be an old song, I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. Huh. When's the last time you praised God? By the way, when you start praising Him, it's a whole lot easier to start praising everybody else. The reason some of you don't praise anybody else is because you're not praising Him. When you get your praise right this way, it's easy to praise this way. I'll promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's time to praise the Lord.